Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this evening, knowing that as the snow beginning to blow outside, we thank you for the warmth and comfort in here and the warmth and comfort of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would be with us tonight as we continue to examine these wonderful words from your prophet William Branham concerning Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and how it affects us, the very life that was in your Son coming into your church, your bride, and how the headship and the preeminence of you, Father, of your word, the same preeminence that was in your Son Jesus for you, is in your bride also. And so, Lord, we have the same preeminence, the same word, and thus the same life, and we're so thankful for it. Father, help us to be ready for the going home. We know it to be very soon, and we ask, Father, that we be ready. May we have the testimony of Enoch, that we please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This will be number 149 in our series, number 29 in the Christian Life sub-series, and we're going to call this one No Substitute. In paragraph 241, Brother Branham says, "Now show me where somebody was baptized in the body in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Well, let me see if I can... And what you recognize, see, I realize I'm talking to thousands on tape, you know. We got a tape ministry around the world. What name are you baptized in? For there's not another name given under heaven, said the word, whereby man can be saved. And if you're baptized to show your belief in Christ and then take on a creed name, then you're a hybrid. Pretty strong words. Now notice that Brother Branham is telling us that if you add anything to the name in the baptismal formula, you have hybridized the baptism with Catholic baptism. Now look at the words that what he's telling us here. What name are you baptized in? For there is not another name given under heaven, said the word, whereby a man can be saved. And if you're baptized to show your belief in Christ and then take a creed name, then you're a hybrid. The next paragraph, which we're not going to get into tonight just for time's sake, but he talks about how that's Catholic baptism. And when you use the titles, your motive is to blot out the name. Now, you may not know that that's what you're doing, but it doesn't matter if you're aware of it or not. That's what you're doing when you substitute titles for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to substitute using titles is to blot out the name. And furthermore, when they use a rabbit's foot or some preacher to take the place of a prophet, which is God's mouth, as we showed on Sunday through the scriptures plainly, what you're getting is a hybrid product. You're getting the word plus a man's thinking. Now, when the Bible says that all tables are full of vomit, you have to ask yourself, what does it mean? Well, vomit is food from another day, right? And it's mixed with man's own fluids, his own acids. And so it produces vomit. And that's what Brother Brown said when he preached on the seventh seal. He said, "And since there is no other name given by where we might be saved, then to be baptized in titles is no baptism at all, and no salvation is there for those who do either. It is an offense to God to deny his name, the name that he gave his Son." Now, to get where I want to get us this evening, in our understanding tonight, I'm going to read about maybe a dozen paragraphs from the seventh seal. Reading from paragraph 71, Brother Branham said, "Therefore, if any man will serve an idol or keep an idol on him," and those pendulums are nothing but an occult or New Age idol, "or bless himself in his own imagination of his mind and serves idols, God said, man, woman, family, or tribe, his name will be completely blotted out from amongst the people." Now, is that right? How true? Idolatry did the same thing in the church ages, in the church years ago and does today. Now notice, watch how the Antichrist tried to make an anti-move. How many knows that the devil types and patterns after God's things? Well, what is sin? It's the right thing perverted. What is a lie? It's a truth misrepresented. What is adultery? It's a right act, a legal act done wrong. See? Now, in trying to do this, to blot out a name, did you notice in the church age, the same beast that serves the image of the dead people and so forth tried to blot out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Same thing with that curse behind it like that. Then Brother Bram says, Dan and Ephraim did just that under the hypocrite of a king in Israel, an imposter, Jeroboam. Now notice in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, I know that we're, this is just to lay a background on what we can depend on, what we see. 1 Kings, I want to go to the 12th chapter, 25th to the 30th verse. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in input Ephraim and dwelt there and went out into and built Penuel. And now Jeroboam said in his heart, see the imagination of his heart, now shall the kingdom turn to the house of David? He was getting scared, you see, because the people might go out. If this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people be turned again to the Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me. And go and enter Rehoboam, king of Judah, whereunto the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set up the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing become a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even to Dan. So Brother Branham is letting us know, reading scripture and commenting, that the motive for Jeroboam was selfish. If they go up to this other church, or if they go up to Jerusalem, to where Rehoboam is at, they might forsake me. So what does he do? He builds two calves, golden calves, says, hey, this is what let you out of Egypt, and tries to force the people into idolatry. So what's the point of this reading? To show you that King Jeroboam, for selfish motives, made a substitute. And the people, in receiving the substitute, turned from the only true God to worship a substitute. And in doing so, they were put away by God for doing so. So when we take the word of a fivefold minister above the word of a vindicated prophet, we're taking a substitute. Because as we read Sunday, God said, my word that cometh out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. And then we read where he said, and my mouth is my prophets. We read several scriptures where Brother Bram, or where the scripture, Jesus said that actually. Then Brother Bram says, paragraph 73, see Ephraim at Bethel and Dan, and they set up idols, and these went out to worship this. And here we are plumb down into the millennium age almost, and God still remembered that sin. They're not even counted in there. Amen. Glory. Just as sure as he remembers every good promise, he remembers every evil one too. Just remember, that's the reason I believe, friends, I've always tried to stay with that word, no matter how strange it seemed. See? Now, they wouldn't think about that there then. They didn't think about it then. They thought, well, they got by with it. And that sounds just like the words we hear today. God forgave me once, he'll forgive me again. Will he? Will he? And they say that they even before they commit the sin. Well, if God forgave me once, he's going to forgive me again. And so they go out planning to do the sin. But the Bible says he that's born of God does not initiate sin. He doesn't plan sin. Now, he might get caught. But he doesn't go out planning. Oh, brother, look at that arrogant spirit of Jeroboam. Doesn't the Bible say fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot? So they will go from preacher to preacher to find some preacher that will allow that sin in their congregation. And then they will feel justified because brother so-and-so says it's all right. Well, let me tell you something. I've seen that spirit stick its head up for over 32 years as a pastor. And as Brother Brown says, spirits don't change. You just go from one body to the next. But God said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. Listen, brothers, sisters, God has a mouth and it's his prophets. And if that prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, then you had better take that as God telling you himself. In Marriage and Divorce, Brother Branham makes it very clear it wasn't so from the beginning. In the beginning, it was one man and one woman. And I know some people that Brother Vail himself told these people, he said, if you divorce and remarry, you will go to hell. And what children you have by that next marriage, they will go to hell. And the spouse that you marry will go to hell. It's a serious thing. But God said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. Now, let's continue with this end time prophet speaking from the seventh seal. And he says, all right, but here they are over here in the millennial age setting in when their names and tribes is blotted out from it because they served idolatry that God cursed. Didn't he say he hated the Nicolaitans and that Jezebel stay away from it? Didn't he say he'd kill Jezebel's daughters with the killing of death, which is eternal separation from his presence? Don't trust in it at all. Get away from it. So God remembers. Now, don't forget 5 months ago, August 25th, 2013, I showed you that the very first judgment from God is always separation and abandonment. You abandon God, he will abandon you. And when you turn down a vindicated prophet for any other ministry, or you substitute the words of God's mouth for your pastor, for a teacher, or any fivefold minister, his words above a vindicated prophet, thus saith the Lord, which is the mouth of God, God breathed words, and God will substitute you right out of the promises for the age. And that is exactly what took place. Didn't he say that if they refused to praise him, he'd raise up stones to praise him? They took a substitute for the real. And God says, you abandon my name and I will abandon your name. I will take your name out of the book of life. Now back to Brother Branham. Notice paragraph 74. Notice. But did you notice there it was to be blotted out? Why? Under heaven there was no immediate sacrifice that could give him the Holy Spirit to let him see these things. But he did it anyhow in his own selfish mind. But Ezekiel in his vision in the millennium, he sees them again in perfect order. Ezekiel, if you want to read it, just put it down and just read it to save time. Ezekiel 48, 1 to 7, also 23 to 29. Ezekiel, seen every tribe just exactly in order. All right? And also in Revelation 14, John seen them again in tribal order. That's right. Every tribe to his place. What happened? You remember, he said under the heavens that his name would be blotted out of the tribal affair. As long as he was under the heavens, there would be no more. And this 144,000 is down here in the tribal part yet. That's right. But you see, they'd been blinded. They had only the sacrifice of bulls and goats. See? Now notice he blotted them out from under heaven. But the Gentiles in the day of the Holy Spirit against your name was taken completely off of the book of life and can never have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Is that right? Now, there's where we stand. Israel under goats, sheep, they did have a place. As long as it was on the earth here, their tribes was missing. They could never be included. And so in when God took, I don't remember, it was Dan and Ephraim, he replaced it with Joseph and another. I don't remember the name of that. All right. Now Malachi chapter 4 and 1 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And remember, we read Sunday where he said, my word shall not return unto me void. It's coming. The earth shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, that's all the arrogant people, yea, and all that do wickedly, all who do not the word of God, shall be stubble, cannon fodder. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. That is, thus saith the Lord, because he says, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now that is a promise to all the inhabitants of the entire earth. Death and destruction is coming. But then notice what's next. But, in other words, there's an exception. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, as healing campaigns, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. From his sermon, hear ye him, Brother Branham said, God, before he does anything, he always declares it in the heaven first and then on earth. Well, what's being declared in the heavens? We got some things taking place here. And he always does that before he does it on earth. No one ever goes into judgment without thoroughly being warned. Then he says, God always sends mercy before judgment. He always has. He always will. And this great revival that the church has had a revival of miracles and divine healing and gifts of the Spirit. Remember, something follows that. God always sends mercy before judgment. He declares it in the heavens above, like the wise men saw the star come to worship the Lord Jesus, and then God always makes a witness of what he does. And again in the sermon, Resurrection of Lazarus, Brother Branham said, before God does anything, he always sends mercy before judgment. He always sending warning. And when man won't heed the warning, there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. That's right. If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. God sends the preacher, he sends preachers and everything and gives a warning, sends the Spirit and warns the people. Now before he sent Jesus, he sent a warning to the people to make ready his coming. And may I stop here just a moment and say this with the deepest sincerity. I believe the things that you're seeing taking place today across the world is a warning that Jesus is coming. Amen. Now that words that he said there is very appropriate for what we're going through right now. I can't for the life of me see how people could be abandoning the ark in such a late hour as what we have. We see destruction coming. We see a government coming down to where it's going to be nothing but totalitarianism. It's not only here, it's going to be all over the world. They want to purge the earth of peoples. They want the economy is going to go bust probably this year. We are living in a very intrepid day. The Bible said it is called a day that's fierce. This know at the end time, perilous times shall come. Fierce times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous, blasphemers, despisers of them which are good. The rains are forming. Where are we at? We're in the ark. We're in Christ. Don't get antsy. Learn to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. So what is God's mercy? It's his message. And the Lord himself has descended with a shout, which is a message. But to turn down what the voice of God tells you, and there remains one thing, judgment. Judgment. Not he will keep forgiving me. No, judgment. You cross the line, there's judgment. Hebrews 10:26, for he that sins, disbelieves willfully after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That means you cross the line knowingly for the last time. It's over, brother. But a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Notice they despised Moses' law, and now they're despising the Spirit of grace, bringing it into disgrace. Notice he says, despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now the word despite means you have brought insult to the blood of Jesus by continuing to walk in your unbelief and your sin, and then say, oh, if God can't forgive me of that, what can he forgive me for? He forgave me once. He'll forgive me again. I'm going to go out and do it. Well, you cross that line. You're done for. The truth of it is, no, he can't forgive what he said he would never forgive. And he told us when you cross that line, when you know better and you willfully do it anyhow, you're finished. Now notice these blessings in contrast in Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses, we have all these blessings from God. If you hearken, pay attention, close attention, study it, the voice of the Lord your God. But notice in verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And what is the voice of God? It's his prophet, right? So if you will not pay attention to the prophet of God, the voice of God, the mouth of God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee. Notice is that our hearkening is when we observe and we also follow up by doing what we observe from the voice of God. From verse 15 and on through the end of the chapter, the promise is whoever does not pay attention and do the same blessings as mentioned for the believer, those blessings will become curses for the believer. Number one, you'll be cursed in the city. Number two, you'll be cursed in the field. Number three, your baskets and storehouses will be cursed. Number four, your children will be cursed. Number five, your crops will be cursed. Number six, your herds will be cursed. Your flocks will not increase. You will be cursed when you come in. You'll be cursed when you go out. Jehovah will send cursings upon you. He will send vexation. He will send rebukes. You will fail in all that you do. You will be destroyed. You will quickly perish. Pestilence cleaving unto you. Death, emaciation, to grow thin or waste away, consumption. And actually, we can go up to 86. There's 86 of them. But we don't have time to get into it tonight. Now, I want you to notice that for every blessing God promised us who hear, recognize, and act upon the word of God, God has also set up a curse upon those who will not hear, will not recognize, and will not act upon the word of God. And not only will they be anointed with a curse, but that curse will bring with it four times as many curses as there are blessings. And what is that? It's double unto her double. In other words, double times double is four times as many. And it all depends on how you receive the word, which God personally came down to give us in this hour, and what you do with it, because remember, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Now, the word curse is a word which means to treat with contempt. And it comes from the root word which means to be consecrated to. Therefore, anointed to a certain thing. And that thing that the one who is cursed is anointed to is destruction in every conceivable manner, as we've seen in the list above. And actually, Brother Branham said in his sermon preparation, he said, God cannot bring destruction until the people are in the spirit for destruction. And that's just been happening since 2001, September 11th. The people are getting in the spirit of destruction, and they're looking for it, and they're afraid, and they want the government to be their protector instead of God. They want the government to be their shield instead of God. And they're totally becoming idolatrous in their lives. So you either are anointed to be blessed or you are anointed to be cursed. And those who are anointed to be blessed are anointed with God's spirit. How could God ever curse his own spirit, his own life? But we have a promise that God will separate from his believers and his unbelievers. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7 to 9, notice he says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." And Brother Branham, when he preached the seventh seal, he knocked on the pulpit seven times, and he said there's relaxation under the seventh seal. We should be in a time right now where we're not pressing ourselves to do anything. We're actually resting, we're relaxing in the presence of God, knowing that one of these days, it could be this year, it could be the next, I don't think it's going to go beyond that, but we're going to be out of here. The ark is closed. I believe right now it's the time of the falling away. I believe the last one is in. The last one has to be child trained, but the last one I believe is in. I could be wrong. I'm not a prophet. But I don't see that there's people coming in when there's people going out. This is the hour where they're going out. You see it everywhere in this message. Every church is affected. I don't know of any churches that is not affected by the people just going out. And what are they going to? They're going back into the world. You know, these people that have come against the vindicated prophet, the women are bobbing their hair, they're wearing pants, they're wearing huge earrings. It looks like, you know, stirrups, like Brother Brown called them. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." We see the picture there. The Lord with his mighty angels. That's the appearing of the Lord. And remember, appearing and coming are two different words, and they mean two different things. He has appeared in the form of the pillar of fire, the Holy Ghost, to get us ready for the coming. And he promised rest for us. As Brother Brown said, we have rest under the seventh seal. But notice what he promises those who are trouble, those who trouble us out, or try to trouble us out of our rest. He says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, "who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from," or out from, In other words, they are removed from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They are not only removed from his presence, but they're removed from the glory or the doxa of his power. They are removed from the opinion, the values, and the judgments of his power. In other words, they will not say, nor do they hold the same value that God holds concerning his power. Having a form of godliness, godliness means godlikeness, having a form, they will deny the power thereof. They will deny John 14:12. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, that word glorified is endoxazo. When he shall come to bring magnification of his glory, his doxa, his values, his opinions in the lives of his saints. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you will be believed in that day. And didn't Brother Bram say, when they said, I just preach what Paul preached, they said, that's what we're counting on. And Paul right here says, in that day, when our testimony will be believed. That's this hour. Also, we continue from 2 Thessalonians 3:6, for we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received from us. In other words, prepare yourselves. We're going home. Don't be out there hustling and bustling with just, you know, the rebellious. Just give yourself to Christ. Get yourself ready. The door of the ark is closing. God is closing it. God closed the door for Noah. He closed the door in Moses' day. And then when they went through that wilderness, brothers, sisters, 2 million people, only 2 entered in. The doors are closing. The great falling away is taking place. From questions and answers, Brother Brown said, I remember years ago you always heard them talk about the sawdust trails and things in the tabernacle. That didn't make it anymore, not a bit more. But then it was fresh. God was calling his church. I seen them sob and cry and lay on the altar all night long. I went to their houses and you could hear them when you come up, just in their bedchambers, men and women crying, oh God. You see them walk through the church and I'd see the piano start playing, Jesus keep me near the cross, and tears flowing down there, you know. Walk into the church, then walk down to another church and hear them there. There's a precious fountain. Oh God, save my boy, save my daughter. She's lost, Lord. Please, you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus predicted this, that because iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. See, growing cold, going away. The love is dying away. And what they got into is just a form. How many people are sighing and crying for the abominations done in the city? How many people are sighing and crying for the abominations that have taken place in the message? How many people are sighing and crying for the people that have left? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about that left the message. Notice that there used to be such a love for God that people would cry out to God day and night for their loved ones. But you don't see that anymore. He said years ago it was fresh. God was calling his church. But what has happened? I'll tell you what has happened. We're in the season of the great falling away. And so the falling away must take place as God spoke it would take place. And all you can do is just pray that you'll not be among those that fall away. We need to take inventory every day, brothers and sisters. As David said in Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. As Paul said, if we be any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we believe, Lord, that we have received your Holy Spirit. And you said if we have your Holy Spirit, that if we be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to us. So be with us tonight, Father, as we pray tonight. And we ask your divine presence to be with us, to guide us, to get us ready as it was in the days of Noah, wherein only 8 souls were saved. Just 1 family. That's all that was saved. Oh God, is it to repeat again? Just 1 little family of Jesus. Just a few here, a few there. But knowing one thing, we are flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. Save us, O God, and we shall be saved. Heal us, and we shall be healed. Bless us, and we shall be blessed. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace.